You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, please. 1 Kings today, 1 Kings chapter 10, if you'll turn there. Once you get there, will you put a marker there and then go with me to Deuteronomy and chapter number 17, Deuteronomy 17. So if you'll take your Bible, go to 1 Kings 10, that's where we're going. I'm not in a series, but I'm stuck in 1 Kings personally. Been several messages out of 1 Kings last week. We are in chapters 5 through 7, and we saw the importance of God's house. And I want to say by way of introduction, I made a video this morning. I do every Sunday at 9 o'clock. They put it on, and maybe it's on whatever you call it right now. But the only answer this nation has is God's house. Amen. We have to get back to God's house. And I know I'm speaking to not only the country right now, but the world. Every nation in the world's watching right now. And it's because of you. They love this song leader, and they love the choir. But we have to get back to God's house. Worldwide. You know, in the Bible, God always established a place to meet with man. Now, you can meet with God. I was driving this week to a meeting to preach, and I was meeting with God, praying and rejoicing, listening to our radio station. You can meet with God anywhere. But God first gave a place to meet him in a garden. And then God gave Abraham in chapter 13 of Genesis an altar called Bethel. Bethel means the house of God. So if you attend Bethel Baptist Church, you're attending the house of God Baptist Church. And God went from a garden, and then he went to an altar, and then he made a tabernacle. It was a portable building. They used it for 40 years. And the Jews were wandering in the wilderness, but right in the center, these 12 tribes of Israel, they all moved. When the house of God moved, they moved with it because their homes centered around God's house. So we went from a garden to an altar to a tabernacle and then a temple. We saw that last week in this 1 Kings deals with the temple. We saw 60 times in chapter 5, 6, and 7, talked about my house, the house that Solomon built to worship God and magnify God. Well, then that temple's been destroyed and gone, and God gave us in the New Testament called a local church. Amen. The word church is ecclesia, a called out assembly. We're called out of the world into this location. And God says many things about the church. We won't go there now, but I tell you, the answer for America is the church. Then dear pastor, I love you dearly. Why are we stopping Sunday school? I don't understand it. I don't understand what built America was the Sunday school. The teaching of the Word of God. Well, you know, North Valley Baptist Church, you preachers that preach like that, you have no substance. Well, the first thing you stop is Sunday school. Explain that to me. And the next thing that goes, and it's going all over the country tonight, are Baptist churches, Sunday night. We don't want to interrupt the family schedule. Our lives should hover around the house of God. And not less, but more as we see the day approaching. Well, then Wednesday night goes. Then soul winning goes. Door to door, winning folks to Christ. Then that goes. All you have is a little hour and a half service Sunday morning. That won't save a nation. Never has historically, and it's never worked. I've lived a long time, pastor this church over 49 years. I'm telling you, it's a half a century. I'm telling you, I've watched people drop it all. Let's drop the name church. They started calling themselves fellowships and centers and all. That worked in the late 70s, 80s, but it didn't work long. They're all gone. You don't call a church center and fellowship now, but that was the big thing. Then you drop the name Baptist, and that didn't work either. And then you drop the name anything, so it's the grape, the vine, the branch, the this, the rock, the this, the that. And then we got rid of the choir, and we brought our rock groups in. I'm telling you, friends, it's not working. We're finding evil has invaded our country. That politically people think that it's good to celebrate transvestites and take a whole month to celebrate pride. Middle letter there is I. And blaspheme a holy God, male and female. I tell you why. Not Democrats did not do this to us. Republicans did not do this. Independents did not do this to us. Supreme Court did not do it. God's house did it. The nation is a reflection of the people of God. Like people, like priests. Priests go wrong, pastors go wrong, sell their souls, and all of a sudden you have nothing left. Well, it may not matter to you, but I tell you what, I've got 14 grandkids, it matters to me. And it matters to my wife. We got to get back to the house of God. Amen. Today we're going to deal a little bit with that, though we did last week. But I want to deal with leadership, pastors, parents, Sunday school teachers, people that have a bus route. We have a responsibility. Older siblings to younger siblings, daddies and mothers and fathers and wives. We have a responsibility. Ushers and deacons and all of us that are involved. I ask you to turn to 1 Kings and put a marker there. We're in Deuteronomy chapter 17, we'll begin. And in verse 15, God's going to tell us some regulations for authority. God's going to tell us a regulations for a king. They never had a king. And the people are going to demand, the Israelites are going to demand a king, a president, a supreme court, a supreme minister, someone that will lead. And I'll set a king over you, verse 14. And the king, verse 15, shall be over you. But God says there's some things that a king cannot do. And if you'll listen carefully for a few moments, we'll get to a brief message and we'll pull it all together. Speaking to the king, verse 16. Let's read verse 16 together. Ready? Begin. But he shall not. I don't know why God made a rule for kings not to have a lot of horses. To me, it seems like kind of a strange rule. But God made the rule. God made 10 commandments. And he said, if you'll just lead your country with these 10 commandments, Exodus chapter 20, you'll be okay. Would you explain to me why God says a king cannot have very many horses? And they can't come out of one country. What's the prohibition? They can't come out of what country? We just read it. What country? Can't come out of what country? And what can't they have? Multiple horses. He uses that word multiple several times in these three verses. Can't have multiple horses. Can't have what? Multiple. And they can't come out of what country? Now, that's as clear as the nose on my face. Look at the next verse. Let's read verse 17. Ready? Begin. Neither shall he multiply. Word multiple. One, he can't have multiple horses. They can't come out of Egypt. Secondly, he can't have multiple wives. And then thirdly, he can't have multiple riches. He says that in the latter part of that verse. And he shall, and neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. Okay, review as we go over to 1 Kings chapter number 10. One, he cannot multiply to himself what? Horses. Yeah, it's going to take a lot longer if you don't talk to me. Here we go. He cannot multiply to himself what? Horses. Good job. And they can't come out of what country?
Egypt.
And secondly, he can't multiply to himself what? And thirdly, he can't multiply riches. Can't do that. In our text, they have just come through a 20-year building project. They built the house of God for, we saw last week, for 7 years, and they built Solomon's house for 13. 20 years he's been in a building project. He's only going to be the king 40 years, so half of his reign is already done. But he's got these two big buildings, and they're beautiful buildings. Oh, they're wonderful buildings. They're amazing buildings. His house, and he hired 30,000 men to work on the house of God, 10,000 a month. This crowd would leave their family, and for 1 month, 10,000 would work. We saw that last week. And the next crowd would come in and work for a month, 10,000. And then the third month, and then they went back, and they did that for 7 years. He had the building and explained it all, how it's to be built. He said, I don't want any talking. This is a sacred place. So when you take the stones, and huge stones are used to, I want you to go out to the quarry, get the stone, do the chiseling there, and have it so when you bring it in, you don't talk and you don't chisel. There's no noise. And you bring it in quietly. You set the stone. And then you go get the next, or the next crowd comes in with theirs. God had it all. This is the way it was supposed to be done. I want you to notice, and we're still in the introduction, but you're doing very well. I want you to see chapter number 10. I'll pull it together in a few minutes. Verse 14. Speaking about Solomon after 20 years now. Now the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 600 threescore and six talents of gold. 666. A lot of gold. God's word tells us about how much Solomon was paid. And if it would be in dollars and cents today, Solomon was paid $30 million a year. Now I want to say a word to our deacons. I would settle. I'm not worth Solomon. I mean, good night. I'll settle for half. But you deacons better start coming through, because you represent the church, and the church wants me to get, well, 15 million. We'll go down to 7,500,000. The church wants me to have that. And that went over like a lead balloon. He got $30 million a year. And he said all this, and look at it, says, besides, verse 15, of all the merchantmen, and the spice and the merchants, and beaten gold in verse number 16, and beaten gold in verse number 17, and the shields and the great throne in verse 18, and verse number 19, 21, there were vessels of gold, and there was pure gold in verse number 21, and the Tarshish were bringing gold and silver and ivory and apes and peacocks, all of it. And the Bible says, verse 23, let's read it. Is he supposed to have a lot of money? He can't multiply money. Verse 23, ready? Begin. So King Solomon. Thank God for wisdom, but I tell you what, he had more money than any other king in the world. I believe, I'm not sure about this, but I believe that's a lot of money. If no other kingdom and no other country in the world and no other king had more, he had the most. But that's a violation of the word of God. You can't do it. Well, he messed up on one. A king can't multiply to himself riches. Notice what by the way, verse number 27, and the king made silver to be in Jerusalem as stones. You'd walk down the sidewalks, and it was like gold and silver everywhere. That's what it was like. There was so much. He gave this illustration, not necessarily it was that, but it looked like that. Just, it was elaborate. Well, let's see. He's violated one. Let's see in chapter number 11. But King Solomon loved many strange women. And the Bible begins to explain the daughter of Pharaoh, the women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Zionites, and the Hittites. The Bible says, verse 2, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you, for they will surely turn your heart away after their gods. Listen to this. I don't know. Maybe this is not a lot. And he had 700 wives. Stop right there. You imagine what kind of refrigerator he had to have? My sweet wife makes the list on the refrigerator. One wife. You imagine having 700 wives. Imagine, you know, marriage is great. It's wonderful. I love my wife. December to be 52 years. But you know, fellas, you know what I'm talking about right now. You get bossed around. You guys are a bunch of sissies. Come on, just grunt. Ask the wife if you can say, yes, yes, sweetie. You know what it's like, Brother Corpus, you know what I'm talking about. But you know what it's like, fellas. My wife is the best. And she reads emails and texts on her phone. You know what I'm talking about because we just had this conversation. And she'll be saying, Brother Reimers and Joy, they're doing this. And the next thing is she said, and they went there, and they went there, and they went there, and they went there. I'm so confused. I said, who? She goes, the Evertsons. I said, you were talking about the Reimers. Oh, that was long ago. That was 20 seconds ago. Women, where is your mind? How many men? Come on, men. Thank you, thank you, thank you. A couple of brave men or dumb or stupid, I don't know what, but I'm with you right there. All God's men said, I mean, I can think one thing. Her mind is all over the place. And she said, I told you, cut the grass. I thought we'd talk about the Reimers. No, that was, I thought we'd talk about the Eversons. No, I don't even want to talk about them. He doesn't even know what month it is. I just, no, it wasn't them. You did great today. You always do great. Women, please help us. Would you please? I'm in the pulpit. This is a sacred place. Would you start to and begin to think like a man thinks? I mean, it's tough. It is hard living with you ladies. We'll plan. I got off a plane from North Carolina, and I said, when I get home, I'm going to take the afternoon off. I'm going to take you to Hobby Lobby. I was so excited about taking her to Hobby Lobby. I was just going to sit in the car. And for a whole week, I said, we're going to go next week. Well, when I get back, we'll go. And I told the preacher, he goes, when you get home today, what will you do? And I said, I'm going to Hobby Lobby. I'm looking forward to it. I got home. I said, okay, you're at the airport. Let's go. She goes, where? I said, we're going to Hobby Lobby. She goes, I don't want to go today. Brother Tiago, am I onto something right here? I think I'm going to pull over and just talk to you about marriage for a few minutes. Women, help us. You know, they say women, I like sitting down here. This is pretty cool. They say women can think out of both sides of their head, their brain. Charlie, you know what I'm talking about. Don't act like you don't. They can think out of both sides of their brain. Men can only think out of one side at a time. That's like a woman. She can be in the house making food, shutting the oven with this foot right here, slamming the microwave and changing a diaper. Not me, man. I tried. And fellas, please. Don't ever tell your wife you know how to cook. I'm glad I'm off on these things, right? Because once you're dead in the water. I have tried to make a meal once, you know, just a surprise. I can't keep it all warm. Okay, I could make the mashed potatoes. You go in, it's in a little box you buy in the store already done. But I could do that, but I got to keep that warm and the vegetable warm and the salad cold. And the meat cooking, I don't know how ladies do that. I'm glad I'm not a lady. I'm glad I got off on this. 700 wives. I don't know why I was teaching this elementary chapel years ago, decades ago. I said, how many wives did he have? 700. And then what else did he have? One boy said, porcupines. Called concubines, but he may have had it right. He had 700 wives and he had 300 porcupines. They turned his heart away. And it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God. For 20 years he did so right. And then he messed up. Now, I don't know, when God says you can't have a lot of silver and gold, I don't know what that means, but he had more than the other king, so it's probably wrong. Amen. And you're not supposed to have a lot of wives, but he had 700 plus 3, that's 1,000. So that's, I would think it's probably wrong. It's a violation of the Word of God. Well, we've got one more left. The Bible says in verse chapter number 10, verse 28, and Solomon had horses. Stop right there and go back. Verse 26 said he gathered together the chariots and the horsemen, and he had 1,400 chariots and 12,000 horsemen. I don't know, but I would think 12,000 horsemen and all those horses are a lot of horses. But look what he says. And Solomon had horses, verse 28, and brought them out of where was the one place God told him not to get them? He can't get them any. I don't know why God said that. Well, I tell you what, I don't think God meant that. Yeah, but God said it. And so if God says it, we ought to obey it.
Amen.
Today, in closing, I'm speaking this morning to you, these last moments that are left, I'm almost done. Direct disobedience. Direct disobedience. Solomon, when I get to heaven, I'll tell you what, he's going to be way ahead in the line for me. Such a wonderful man. The wisest man at that particular time, he asked, God said, you want riches? You want money? And he said, no, I want wisdom. Very good answer early in his life. And he was the one that was made the house of all houses for God. It wasn't a garden. It wasn't a rock by Bethel, an altar. It wasn't a moving tabernacle of canvas and badger skins. He was building a tabernacle, a temple, something amazing. And he did it all right. And then all his prayer of dedication, previous chapter, just an incredible prayer. And as singing, as they sang together at dedication, all that he did was so right. But somewhere along the line, he decided, well, I don't have to obey that. Sounds like all of us, doesn't it? We get trapped with that if we're not careful. God gives a prohibition. You can't do that. But then we say, I'm okay. I feel like I'm in one of, I heard an old preacher who's been passed away for 40 some years. He said, Brother Treiber, you pray for me. I said, what are you talking about? He was in his 80s. I said, you've served God a lifetime. He said, I'm in a dangerous place in preaching. I've preached so much this book. I've preached almost every day of my life for 50 years. He said, I don't have to study the Bible. I know the Bible. But he said, that's dangerous because when I begin to neglect the Bible, I'm preaching in my own flesh. I never knew this until 2 weeks ago. I'm reading this book, The Shepherds for Sale, about the leading churches in America. And this would be considered a church like that where we've gone to the left agenda that we believe in abortion, we believe in sodomy, we believe in transgenderism, we believe in climate change, and the money is funded to our churches through Soros. We're not taking that. And I look at that I don't know anything about these interdenominational large churches, but the largest church in America, it said how that the pastor had to resign in shame. We're the same age. I thought, oh my goodness. And I found out it took place about 10 years ago. I'm glad I don't follow that stuff. But you know what I did? I hurt for him. I hurt for him. I hurt for his wife. He probably was a good man. But somewhere along the line, I was preaching in Bakersfield, California, probably 30 years ago. And I got there early, and I went by a Christian bookstore we used to have in the state here, other states. And I went there, and there was a book. I was just sort of wasting time trying to get an air-conditioned room. It was summer, and an air-conditioned building. And I saw this book. entitled, I think 700 pages, I Was Wrong. Most of you won't remember it, but it was the PTL club. On TV all the time, he and his wife, there was affairs, she had them, he had them, and they had jets, they had it all. He wrote a book from jail, and it intrigued me. It was just a few dollars. It was on the clearance. And I got that thing, and I couldn't stop reading it. I went to a park before the meeting. I read and read and read. I started driving home, and I got tired, and I stopped over here by Pacheco Pass. I said, man, I'm going to get a room tonight. I called my wife, told her what I was going to do. I got that room, couldn't sleep. I read that book all night till about 5 in the morning, and I went. It was so convicting to me. I do know when he began, he sang old hymns and songs and choruses. Somewhere, I'm not advertising for charismatic movement or anything, but somewhere along, they were Bible college students. She was dressed so nice. He was dressed so nice. I think Assembly of God or something. They were so appropriate in their dress. Somewhere along the line, and he said the book, I appreciate the book. I was wrong. We blame the church, we blame the pastor, we blame the school, we blame our parents, we blame everybody when we do wrong. But he said, I was wrong. You're not going to find, I remember when our president, they found out that he had been immoral in the Oval Office several years ago with a person that was in training there. I forget what they called her name. I remember her name. And he was immoral. And he said, no, I never did. He described I never had that with that woman. And I did not vote for him. I literally prayed, God, may it not be true. I don't want his wife. His daughter was at Stanford University. We were open at those days. We could go in the dormitories, and ladies went in the women's dormitories. Ashley witnessed his daughter one time. I said, I don't want his daughter to hear that. You people that thrill when people do wrong. I wonder what kind of Christianity you have. I hurt for people when they destroy their lives. But I can tell you this about life, and it's easy to do. It was easy for me, before especially salvation, it was easy to lie to my mother. Over a little thing like a cookie, I lied about a cookie to my mother. One time in my life, I can remember 7th grade, looking at the girl's answers in front of me, and she moved her paper so I could see them, and I cheated, and I took her answers. The teacher said, Jack, and he named her name. Afterwards, the next day, come see me. She goes, you have the exact same answers. It was easy for me to do that. It's easy for me to do this or that or be careless. I don't believe I have anything where I could resign. I've not been in pornography or another woman or stealing from this church or anything of that. But you know what? Better men than me, David, a man after God's own heart, he fell. And we begin to fall when we stop obeying the rules. Somewhere along the line, he said, that rule of horses doesn't belong to me. I can do this. And I can go down to Egypt. They have nice horses there. And I can get all the silver and gold I want. And I can have an enormous amount of wives. I can go ahead and miss church. No big deal. I can go ahead and God says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. I can reject tithing. I don't believe in that. Well, then why did God say upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store that God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. God gives us this book. It's a guidebook. It's a map. It's a rule book for our lives. Well, I can swear at my dad. I can swear at my mom. After all, I'm older now. I can swear at them. Oh, no. No, you can't, because you're to honor your father and mother. Amen. I sure wasn't a perfect son. But I saw my mother in that coffin, and I saw my dad in that coffin. I didn't have a lot of regrets. I loved those people. Some of you ought to get right in an altar today and come forward and say, Mom, Dad, I'm so sorry. I disobey. I rebel. I'm doing my own thing. Some husbands, you're doing your own thing and you're not thinking about your wife. You're disobeying. You're to love your wife even as you love yourself. That's what God's, that's his rule. Jack, you love Cindy. That's the rule. And God gives ladies a rule to honor your husband and to obey your husband, to respect your husband and to follow his leadership. He's the headship. He's not the smart one that you're probably smarter than he is, but he has been given the responsibility to set a direction for the home. It's about time we just start obeying the rules.
Amen.
For when we obey the rules, there's always a great result. What rules? Well, rules of the Bible. Rules of the Holy Spirit. Brother Manning, you've been saved a long time. The Holy Spirit of God will... He, don't say that, Manna. Don't say that, Pastor. Don't do that. Don't react that way, Jack. The Spirit of God tells me. Yeah, but I just feel like I need to get it off my heart. But you're violating the Word of God. The Holy Spirit's telling you no. No, no, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. The Word of God's telling you no, then don't do it. Authority, school is opening up. Authority says sit up straight, then sit up straight. Authority says write this down, then write it down. God's giving you authority in your life. And yet authority is, look at the police. I've probably been 30 years plus since I've had a ticket. I drive quite a bit. But I think all the time, if they pull me over, the other night, I was in a traffic zone coming home from Sacramento. It said 55 miles an hour. I looked down and I was doing 65. I wasn't trying. I just wasn't thinking. I was having a time. And cars were passing me up. And right next to me is a police car. I said, oh boy, I just ruined my record. I got nailed. And he went on. I said, thank you, God, for grace. I try to obey. And you know, if a police officer pulled me over, I'd say, you know what? I thought I was keeping up with traffic, but I have offended so many times, I deserve it. And then he says, okay, I'm going to give you a ticket. No, I admitted I was. No. Obey your parents. Obey your parents, children, in the Lord. This is right. God tells us there are certain prohibitions. There are things you cannot do and should not do. And he does that for our good. I don't understand why some of these things he tells us. But he tells us it. I don't understand, can't go to Egypt. But he told them that. The Spirit of God speaking to your heart today about getting saved. Trust in Christ. Well, then obey. In a moment, we'll stand and ladies will come and be here to pray with ladies, and men will be here to pray with men. Just obey if God's speaking to your heart. Some couples ought to come today. You bust kids up like usual. You bust teenagers are so amazing. You listen so well. If God's speaking to your heart, then just obey. Come down and let's pray at this altar.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.